I say these are two stories of our past, my past. But these kind of stories have been repeated so many times in the course of my years of ministry. In the midst of our life flourishing and everything seems to be going so well, those weeds come. It might be a brokenness in marriage. It might be abuse that you're suffering at the hands of so-called friends or community. Times when economics just fall to the pieces and you're left wondering, what has happened here? What does the gospel say at a time when you're faced with the weeds? Well, one thing that I believe it does not say, the one place where we are not brought, is to have people come to us and say, God planned it that way. I did not want to hear, for example, when I was grieving for my sister, when I was grieving for my brother-in-law, I didn't want anyone to come to me and say, Providence is that almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules over them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. Could I say to the young mother who came to me one time when I was just a young preacher as a guest pastor in another sister community, she came to me after the service and she was heavily with child. And she said, Pastor Jim, could you come back next month and be there when we bury my child? Because she had been told the child had a condition that it would only live, she would only live, at the most, for an hour after birth. Could I say to her, my dear sister, all things come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand? I could not. I could not. Because the death of her child did not happen by chance. It was deliberate. It was deliberate, but not from the hand of my Father in heaven. And my sister's diseased and broken body did not happen because my Father in heaven willed her to have multiple sclerosis. And Linda's brother did not die in the prime of his youth because my Father in heaven willed him to be electrocuted. And my dear friends, do not believe, do not think that any of the tragedies which you have faced and which you will face come to you because our Father in heaven has willed it. And we can embrace this dynamic good news because it comes directly from Jesus. One day Jesus was sitting in his boat. The sun was shining. The waves were lapping against the side of the boat. And the crowds listened as they absorbed Jesus tell his stories. It was a day Jesus taught again about the kingdom of God. And the Jewish folk, they perked up their ears when they heard him speak about the kingdom of God, because that was their heart and their passion. It was who they were as a people of God. They had heard it from the days of Abraham and Sarah, God coming to them and saying, I will establish you as a kingdom, as a people. You will be my priests. You will be my people, bringing blessings to the creation. It was through David, through Solomon, that God exercised his authority and established his kingdom here on the earth. And these people in Jesus' day, oh, they longed for that day when Jesus would make his kingdom bright and beautiful again, as in the days way in the past. The days they remembered, the good old days of King David and King Solomon. The days they now grieved ever since the exile into Babylon. So they listened to Jesus. And they longed for Jesus to say, if he indeed was the Messiah of God who he claimed to be, that he would restore the kingdom to Israel. And they listened for hints, and they listened for promises that Jesus would rid them of all the weeds in their world. And the biggest weed was right there in Rome, and his name was Caesar and all his soldiers. And they longed for the day that Jesus would be the new Moses, and he would lead his people Israel into that promised future, and all of Caesar's armies would drown this time in the Mediterranean Sea. And what Jesus said about the kingdom of God was as confusing to them as it is to us. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who goes out sowing his seeds. And some seeds falls on the path, and the birds come and they take it away. Some falls in stony ground, some soil where the thorn bushes invade and take over. And some land up in this fertile soil where the crop abounds with 30, 60, and sometimes 100 times more. But no matter which side of this fence you're sitting on, it's not the story that they expected Jesus to give. They expected the story where Alice is in Wonderland, and she steps into the closet, and there's this whole new world that opens up. They expected the story where Santa comes down the chimney, and everything we are wanting is given to us. They did not expect the cross. They did not expect God to bring his kingdom to us through suffering. It's a mystery. Jesus gives us this parable of disappointments, his own disappointments with the world. There's this beautiful garden that God has created, beautiful seeds that he's planted. But now it's a world where there's weeds all over the place. Sometimes this parable is understood as a picture of church communities. Well, you can understand why. I've served in many church communities. I've been part of a number of church communities. We all know that in churches, church communities are made up of wheat and weeds. I remember those denominational fights that we used to have. If you were a Christian Reformed, you were the wheat. If you were a Roman Catholic, in our opinion, you're the weeds. It's just as pure and simple as can be. We just made those boundaries. We had those mixtures. And then we learned to see, you know what? All of us, we are a mixed bag. We have weeds and we have wheat in the same church communities. There's this wonderful story about Billy Graham, Dr. Billy Graham. One time, one of his close friends was a bit tired of his church community. He had been part of his church for a number of years, and he says, there's all these internal conflicts going on, and, well, the doctrinal truth was being watered down, and liberalism was coming in this side and what side. He was ready to go out and start finding himself a new church, a real good church, a pure church, an orthodox church. Dr. Billy Graham said, "My dear friend, you must do what you need to do. Find that good church." But I need to tell you that when you become a member of this new pure church, it will no longer be a pure church. Wow! That was a hit in the face. But, you know, it wasn't. This is not a parable about just church communities where weeds and wheat flourish together. This is a picture of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is always bigger, yes, than church communities. The kingdom of God is as big as the world. It is never restricted to just what happens in church communities. The kingdom is about the King, Jesus, who is king over his whole creation, every part of it. And in the midst of this big world, God's big, beautiful world, there is wheat and there are weeds. What did I say? How did I scream when my nieces innocently, hopefully, mournfully asked, "Maybe you can be our mom and dad"? What could we say when my 17-year-old brother-in-law's body was laid in the grave? We turned to God in the midst of our pain and our confusion, and we said, "Oh God, didn't you plant good seed in your ground? Why are we faced with diseases and death and dying and destruction?" We cried. God does not expect us to embrace our tears as grief that's caused by his fatherly hand. God is as hurt and God is as pained by all of our grief as we are, and even more. He doesn't soothe over our discomforts and our pains and ask us to just believe that all things come not by chance but from his fatherly hand. Jesus is very clear in his parable picture. He said, "An enemy did this. An enemy did this." He didn't say, "My father did this." He said, "An enemy did this." And later in the story, Matthew has us listen, because the disciples were so confused by the parable. They said, "Oh, Jesus, tell us, what were you getting at when you gave us this parable about the weeds and the wheat growing together?" Well, Jesus made it quite clear who the enemy is. The enemy is the devil. And he said he's like a nighttime thief doing his destructive work when everyone else is sleeping. And he creates havoc and destruction and death and disease and brokenness and grief do not happen to us by chance. And they certainly do not come to us by our fatherly hand. An enemy did this. And my dear friends, if that's how the kingdom of God is in our midst right now, then we can listen to the rest of this story that Jesus gives to us. "Do you want us to pull up those weeds?" Jesus says, "No. Let them grow together." at the harvest, I will tell the harvesters, not you, not me, not us, I will tell my angels to take care of the harvest. But let them grow together. Be patient. Trust. Trust in God's wisdom. Trust in his care. God is as compassionate and God is as determined in his time to remove the weeds and undo the destructive powers of the evil one. My sister will stand again with a renewed body where there will be no more multiple sclerosis. And my brother-in-law will stand again in the full kingdom of our God, and he will rejoice that death was not the end. And that dear little baby that I buried will have a full life. Because God will see to it. He is our loving Father. But that leaves us this week, doesn't it? Jesus gives you and I a choice. Which side are you going to work with? The destructive powers of the evil one? The enemy? Or will you have ears to hear? Eyes to see the good news of our dear Jesus? Walk with his Spirit into the daily practice of his kingdom. And all God's people say,